the old, old. Good morning, man. Kermit Edney with program number 221 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as used by the great Frank Fitzsimmons, so we simply call the program Where Fitz Left Off. Today, let's remember the great Chan Harbor, who was Hendersonville's answer to Meredith Wilson's The Music Man. Chan Harbor founded the Hendersonville Symphony Orchestra. Jim Stokes remembers the day vividly. Jim was in the band room of Hendersonville High School, and a handsome, distinguished man came in and said, "My name is Chan Harbor. I'm not a band director, nor am I even a professional musician, but I think you and I should work toward organizing a local symphony orchestra." Stokes, who was director of music at the high school and who'd received many high honors for the bands he had directed, Stokes was not overly impressed with this conversation. Hendersonville has always been known to be frequented by folks who have grandiose ideas they want to plant and then walk away from. But Jim said he found out in a matter of weeks that Chan Harbor was for real. Chan had retired to Hendersonville in 1962, 9 years earlier, and had taken a strong and active role in organizations such as Opportunity House, where he was president for 2 years. He taught the men's Bible class at the First United Methodist Church. He established the Philosophical Society in Hendersonville, as well as the Rainbow Roundtable. Chan, using his contacts with the community, began to ferret out people with professional music backgrounds, such as Joseph Falvo, Robert Barkley, Edward Schultz, Marty Irving. And Jim Stokes said he could see that with this nucleus of professional musicians, it would be within reason to round up enough former performers who had played in high school bands to create an actual symphony. Jim said that Chan Harbor, not only through his enthusiastic salesmanship into recruiting musicians, would also find others who would establish the framework of a marketing and performing organization. And when it came time to acquire music for use for concerts to be performed, it was Chan Harbor who put up his own money. Stokes arranged for the symphony members to borrow, when needed, instruments from the Hendersonville High School band room, instruments you don't find in an average person's home, like the tuba or the sousaphone. By the holiday season in 1971, Hendersonville's first symphony orchestra was ready for their debut, and the concert was staged in the Hendersonville High School Auditorium on the evening of December 4th, 1971. And the reception was unanimous, nothing but rave reviews for the orchestra, the director, and everybody who'd had a part in the effort. The symphony had first rehearsed in the Fellowship Hall of the First Baptist Church, and then later in the high school band room. And with their fantastic success in that first concert, the symphony decided to stage 4 concerts for the public each year, and one of these would be especially for young people, and the orchestra would later sponsor a Strings in the Schools teaching program for young would-be musicians. Ultimately, with the music program at Hendersonville High School in rapid growth and expansion, and the symphony ballooning also, Jim Stokes said he just had to give up the directorship. And he was succeeded in the symphony by Ray Reed. Stokes remembers the years that Virginia Tillotson was director of the symphony. He and Virginia had played together when in high school in the Hendersonville High School band. In later years, the symphony organization contacted with Peter Rickett, director of the Greenville Symphony Orchestra, to add the Hendersonville Symphony Orchestra to his directorial responsibilities. This brought a new challenge for the amateur musicians in the Hendersonville Orchestra. Mr. Rickett's schedule was so full, the local symphony would rehearse only 3 times prior to a concert. Now, for a professional musician, this is not a challenge. And when certain of the amateur musicians could not deliver a polished performance in just 3 rehearsals, professional musicians were brought to Hendersonville by Mr. Rickett and were paid for each performance. This practice is observed today by the symphony, with Robert Cranford as president and Manuel Alvarez as conductor and director. Mr. Alvarez is with the University of South Carolina. The cost for talent is included in the total budget of the symphony, which is covered through their annual fund campaign. An interesting spinoff occurred with the birth and growth of the symphony. many of the musicians who had played together either in extracurricular challenge in the symphony and found a common interest in establishing a community band, which still operates and is directed by Jim Stokes and numbers as a resource about 60 musicians. This band performs only in the summer and for special events. Symphony orchestras don't march, but if they did, I can mentally picture Chan Harbor in the role of Professor J. Harold Hill, waving his mighty baton and leading that marvelous mass of music down the main street of the town he had adopted and loved. 76 trombones and Chan Harbor leading the big parade. Another memory of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.